This is the WOKV Spotlight on 104.5 WOKV.
It's 9-11 on Jacksonville's Morning News. Rich Jones, Benjamin Fritkus, Christine Bellino. We've had a fair amount of conversation over the last several days about e-bike safety. It's really in focus following the recent serious injury accidents involving kids. One boy still hospitalized at Wolfson Children's Hospital after he was critically injured, and then another one happening just a few days later. We were telling you here yesterday, the Board of County Commissioners is in early discussion of an ordinance that could put new regulations in place. But we thought, well, we should illuminate what existing enforcement is in place, the message coming from law enforcement in St. John's County, and then how they would even manage any enforcement of any new ordinance that goes into place. So we brought in Director Russ Martin and Lieutenant Todd Boger, and you oversee a lot of the traffic enforcement. So thanks for coming in and trying to illuminate some of this for us. I think before we even talk about the potential of a new ordinance, what are the laws regulating e-bikes in the community, and how do you enforce that from your law enforcement perspective?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to say thanks for having us on to have this conversation. We know there's a lot of concerns about it. And when you don't have a conversation like this, people just kind of assume the worst, that nothing's happening. But you're right, there is a lot of things that we are already doing. We have our patrol units that have been increasing in those areas, especially in the north and Durbin and Nocatee and Sawgrass and all the different areas we're having large complaints about e-bikes. And a lot of the things we're seeing is really a behavior and then an education piece. So what I mean by that is there's some kids that just don't know. Like, they don't know that they're supposed to slow down for pedestrians while they're on the sidewalks. And so they're kind of zooming up behind them, and they're not slowing down and saying, "I'm passing on your left." Like, we probably were all taught when we were kids. And so there's a piece of that. There's a piece of, we're just seeing that kids just don't want to wear helmets, which I think has kind of been a problem forever, you know, but it is a safety issue. If you're under 16, there is some laws that we can enforce. You're supposed to wear a helmet on any kind of bicycle if you're under 16. And so what we normally do is we stop, we educate, we might call a parent and we might say, "Hey, your kid's acting this way," or "they're not wearing a helmet." We also have our school crossing guards that are huge for helping with this. There's like over 60 school crossing guards. They're at a lot of the elementary schools, and they're seeing these kids every day. And when they see them either not wearing a helmet properly or not stopping at a, you know, crosswalk or trying to bypass, they're stopping and educating them. And if they don't have a helmet, they're actually getting these kids helmets when they say, "Oh, I don't have one and I can't get one." They've identified a lot of those kids and are giving them helmets, properly fitting them. They're certified by the state to do so. And then we're pushing out things on social media to help educate. We have a traffic unit, and they're out looking for bicycle violations as we're seeing more and more concern, and just trying to be more aware of, you know, having our awareness to where the problems are, and then also trying to get the parents involved and saying, "Can you help us out? We really need help with this."
Are there increased complaints about kids not wearing helmets, speed, and or the noise of some of these e-bikes, or does it just seem that way?
I think that social media makes it a bigger problem, but it is an issue. We are having crashes. We are having kids that are without helmets. A lot of the parents or people will take pictures of them and send them to us and say, you know, "Hey, there's 10 kids out here. 5 of them aren't wearing helmets." And so we get those, and we're addressing those as much as we can.
Where's your balance of safety? And also, we were all kids at some point. And right, to your point earlier, who wears a helmet on a bicycle is an open question that we've all probably faced in our own lives. We just forgot or said, "I don't need it this time."
Yeah, so that's part of the education piece. And then I think, you know, when we do have some of these things that happen, we have accidents, then it's a huge reminder to everybody that it is dangerous. It can be very dangerous. If you fall off, especially with the e-bikes and some of the speeds they're able to go, you know, when we're riding kids as a riding bikes as a kid, you might go 10 miles an hour if you went full out, as you know, and trying to exhaust your legs as much as you could. Now you can do 20 miles an hour and there's almost no exhaustion. And when you fall off of a bike at 20 compared to 5-10 miles an hour, it's a big difference.
Director Martin, I want to bring you into the conversation because, and I've mentioned this on the air before, the last several days, I remember when enforcement around golf carts became state perspective and state laws were ultimately changed. Do you find from a law enforcement standpoint that you're chasing technology almost as you're trying to chase down a kid to say, "Put a helmet on," for crying out loud?
Yeah, sure. Well, technology is moving obviously at a very rapid pace. And I think us anticipating and responding to the future changes of growth, we pride ourselves at St. John's County Sheriff's Office to always be looking around the corner. Sometimes you can see kind of out west what's coming east. Sometimes that's an indicator. It helps us out. But unfortunately, if you're trying to create new legislation, obviously that takes time. What we don't want to do is react emotionally, create something on the books, and it kind of ties your hands and you don't know what you gain and what you lose by creating that new law. So we're looking at this collective approach. Put everybody's minds in the room. Ask yourself, so what do you gain, what do you lose by enacting this? What's the enforcement model look like? Involve the parents, the HOAs, the county commission's been great. We have a seat at the table there, so to speak, to provide some feedback and say, how does this impact us? Like, how do we can put things on the books, but how do you actually carry that out, and is it meaningful?
There were some conversations yesterday at the Board of County Commissioners. Again, nothing has changed, but and there even is question of whether an ordinance is needed. If we were to hit the fast forward button, to use the old VCR reference for those of us who are old enough to remember that, right? Or TiVo maybe, on our DVR, for example. And if we do see an ordinance change, how do you then implement it, and what effort does it look like to scale up that enforcement across the county?
Yeah, so education's number one, right? Do we understand the why behind what we're doing? And then tailor your training to that, and then look at your challenges. How do you implement that? Is it putting people out on at all these crosswalks, which Lieutenant Boger hit something that's super important to us. I mean, we've got almost 130 people that are dedicated year-round to the safety of our kids, and that comes through school crossing guards. That comes through our communications internally of where are we seeing these complaints, where are we observing those complaints, and then readjusting adequate manpower to address those. And hopefully we have something quantifiable so we know if we're actually making an impact in the goal that we've set out to increase this safety awareness.
Lieutenant Boger, we're about to see school go out in the next few weeks, and those crossing guards will not be on patrol every day. How are you looking to fill the gap then over the summer?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we're working with our school resource deputies, who are also part of this, you know, number that are helping with safety all year round. And they're going to come out and help us with some education, some enforcement on a regular basis throughout the summer. They also do things like teen driving that, you know, they do courses with things like that. And there's going to be some education piece there that they're talking about, you know, different safety ways to drive, rules of the road that kind of overlap with some of the same issues that we're dealing with. And, you know, we won't have the kids that are out like they are for school. So what we're going to do is have just the patrol units, the YRDs that are coming out. Our bicycle unit is coming out. I think they're out today looking for violations. And really, again, it's education. We're not trying to write a 12-year-old a ticket for, you know, riding too fast on a sidewalk or doing whatever, you know, violation that we see. We really are trying to get the parents involved. And we've got a great community. Anytime we call the parents, they're on it. We don't have a lot of pushback. We don't have people saying, this is my kid's not doing that. You're always going to have some of that. But for the most part, the parents find out about it and they're shocked. And so we're educating them and we're getting them on board as well. Same thing that we had to do with golf carts. You know, if you see a kid that was riding a golf cart and they didn't have a license and it was a low-speed vehicle, we're calling the parents. We're not just taking that kid to jail for not having a license and driving on the road. We're really trying to make sure that the problem doesn't persist.
Has the enforcement of the golf carts, have you noticed any sort of changes or observations about fewer underage kids doing it in the, 2 years or so, I guess, since the law changed?
We still do get some complaints about golf carts. It's nothing like it was, 4 or 5 years ago?
Was it that long?
But the legislation is a helpful portion, but it's not an end-all be-all.
Yeah.
You know, it's really the same thing that we're dealing with now. It's parents getting, you know, involved and saying, oh, I didn't realize, like, I just thought it was a 14-year-old kid. He can go out and ride, but they don't know the rules of the road, and they're not stopping at, you know, red lights and things like that. And so it's just getting as much education as we can, and then we're taking, like Director said, a layered approach of, you know, making sure that we have people that are paying attention to this and that our deputies are out there, like, when they're able to enforce things, they're able to stop and do that.
All right, so, Director, as we approach the summer months, and because this is in focus, because we've seen the spate of crashes in St. John's County, what's your advice to the community right now if we see someone riding without a helmet or some knucklehead teenager speeding down and zooming in and out of people on a crosswalk, for example? What do I do?
So don't expect somebody else to fix the problem. I say get involved. How do you get involved? Well, you know your neighbors way better than I know your neighbors. So communicate with each other. Be an advocate for the safety of your kids. You can always call us at the sheriff's office and say, hey, I've seen an increase of this or that in my community. If you have an HOA, you guys can get in and actually enact some rules within the HOA that's not necessarily a law. So that is the layered approach. We're trying to do this thing as a collective group in our neighborhoods and in our community. And I think all of us, one, keeping our eye on the ball, looking if we can quantify some things and say, are we having an impact and are we going in the direction? And hopefully we can adjust the best we can for our resources. Hey, we're full hands on deck on this. We take care of our citizens in St. John's County. We love our community, and I really can't brag on them enough because they're super responsive. So continue to call us, continue to get involved, and we want this to be a dialogue, not just a monologue of saying what we're going to do. No, we need your involvement.
While you represent St. John's County, I think that probably extends to Duval and Clay. Everywhere. I mean, that's the community.
100%. We've got great partnerships. To our north, obviously, Sheriff Waters, the sheriff over Clay County, Flagler, Putnam. We really have worked hard under Sheriff Hardwick's leadership to really tear down these things that they call jurisdictions and barriers. It's really not. Anything we need from the north, the west, or the south, those sheriffs are always hands on deck. As of yesterday, we had an incident. It's different counties working together, collaborating on an issue to provide a safe solution, and that's what we're trying to do here.
Whatever. What was the incident yesterday? Was it the bear?
No, it was the folks that it was a little chase from some wanted subjects. They ended up in it in St. John's County. But, Of course, like Sheriff Harbert says, your journey ends in St. John's County. So it did. Safe resolution of that. But Flagler was involved. We had quite a few people involved. And it's just another example of the partnerships that the jurisdictional lines, it doesn't stop at just the St. John's County line. Anything we can do to help, whether it's Jacksonville, Clay, Flagler, or Putnam, we're going to do it. And they do that for us, and we appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you all coming in studio. Director Russ Martin, Lieutenant Todd Boger in the St. John's County Sheriff's Office. Obviously, not the end of the conversation here, as the County Board of Commissions is in early discussions about a possible ordinance, and we'll certainly look at what that might ultimately end up with. And if indeed there is some new enforcement, we'll probably have you back and talk about it. But thank you for coming in. Do appreciate
it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
923 on Jacksonville's Morning News.